happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hom here for the last time with...
The late Ann Northrup? No, not yet. No. Very much alive, but yes, this is my last scheduled Gay USA show.
We look forward to your farewell address.
I didn't know I had to do that, but...
Well, I mean, we have been... Well, I'll stop before we do the headlines, because... we have been doing this literally for more than 30 years.
We have
a picture here. That is 1996 when you started on the show.
It's true. Early 96, like January or February.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
There we are.
How do we get ourselves to look like that again?
Well, I'm not taking Ozempic or dyeing my hair.
No.
But, you know, obviously... such a pleasure to be with you. And a lot of people want to celebrate you, Anne.
Yes.
And we are going to have, your friends are put together a retirement party for you at,
Julius's.
The historic Julius Bar. This is going to be on August 4th.
Next Tuesday.
Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
See, it's early for the old folks, and it'll be brief.
Right.
It's not going to go for 10 hours. Well, you can do what you want.
There's a suggested donation of $25, but no one will be turned away.
And the donations go to Gay USA.
Right.
This is a fundraiser for Gay USA. I'm just the excuse, but we want to support the show. Continuing Andy heroically, who was doing it for 10 years before I got here. I mean, let's remember that I was booked as like a substitute co-host.
No, well, the story was I was doing it with Lee Sharmat, and she went off to teach somewhere and couldn't do it anymore. And I said, who can I call? And, you know, we had worked together at Hetrick Martin Institute for many years.
We had.
And I thought, really, the only person who could do this on a regular basis would be Ann Northrup. And you said yes.
Who knew? And 30 years later, we're still here.
So we start the show.
I am honored to have been asked. Honored to have done 30 years with you, Andy, and I think you are a hero for how long you've been doing this and the fact that you're continuing it. It's much, much needed, this show, and I'm just ducking out because I've gotten too old and the work has gotten to be too much, and I just am ready for something else.
And I'm lining up people to replace me, or to certainly to replace you in the short run.
Yes.
And, you know, eventually we want the show to continue. It shouldn't have to stop because we're... moving on.
Well, we should have fresh, young voices.
Yes.
So I think you will be working on that.
Almost anybody I book will be younger than me.
Exactly.
All right. Now, you know, we often start the show by saying how you're feeling and how are you feeling about this?
About leaving?
Yeah.
Mixed feelings, of course, because there's a lot of gratification in doing the show, and I've been... It shows with the notes I'm getting from people telling me how much the show means to them and how much they've appreciated the work I've done here. So
you got stopped the other day on Upper Manhattan about this.
In a gas station at 167th Street by someone who said he knew me from television. But being able to have this conversation with the audience has been very gratifying. I finally realized, I tried to boil it down, and what I realized is that I have tried to bring a couple of things to this conversation with the audience. Truth, because I think we try to be much more truth tellers than normal news anchors, and insight, a way to understand the facts we're delivering. So that's always been my goal, truth and insight. And to the extent I've accomplished that, I'm happy. And I'm really happy with the relationships I've developed with the audience, with you, with everybody connected with this. So I do have mixed feelings, but man, am I looking forward to a break.
Sure. And we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, August the 4th, 6 o'clock at Julius Bar in the Village.
On West 10th Street. Please join us. Everybody is welcome.
Everybody
it's just a neighborhood bar. Come hang out.
Right. And you get to meet Ann.
If you haven't already.
Well, and, you know, we have a lot of news to process this week. The horrible story out of Berlin where one person died and 29 were injured as a car slammed murderously into the Pride March. The suspect was killed by the police.
A terrible story. And these stories continue, and that's why Gay USA continues. A lesbian soldier was among the four killed in Trump's illegal war on Iran. But he says they don't count because he declared the war over.
It's grotesque, like everything. Yeah. But a federal judge has ruled for trans service members who were just seeking restoration of the retirement benefits they were promised.
We're getting a lot more bold judges stepping up. And even Democrats are demanding that War Secretary Hegseth provide evidence that his testosterone boosting program is safe and effective.
What's his defense? All right. Kash Patel is fighting discovery in a suit from an FBI agent who was fired for displaying a pride flag that was awarded to him by the FBI.
Fascinating. Trump has ordered content warning signs on the Smithsonian, actually on the lawn, because there was a fight over what he put in the building. So he has warning signs on the lawn.
Because the Smithsonian is still controlled by an independent board, unlike almost everything.
Yeah.
The new Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate in Maine has evolved in his stance on LGBTQ rights and abortion.
I've seen him talk about it a couple of times. He's very sincere. The conservative president of Poland has vetoed a partner recognition bill that had been promised and passed by the moderate parliament.
This is a great loss. Uganda's pro-LGBTQ Anglican bishop, Christopher Senyanjo, has died at 94.
Trans USAID workers in Nepal fired after Trump cuts to USAID across the world are turning to his favorite profession, sex work.
And if we have time, I'll give you some of my London reviews and link to all of them on our email. And go to our email at gayusatv.org if you want to get on our email list, rather. And you can get on the list and keep up with what is going on. So let's talk about Berlin.
Terrible.
Hundreds of thousands of people come out to this thing. They call it the Christopher Street Day there in honor of what happened on Christopher Street in 1969. It's one of Europe's largest. And then a white van gets into the Tiergarten Park around 10 p.m.
Yeah, they had the parade. Then they were sort of in the park for a festival, I think. And people were leaving and walking down a side street. And the van just came up the side street and plowed into them very deliberately.
Berlin's queer commissioner, Alfonso Pantisano, questions how a van could even enter the park at that hour. I mean, there were 2,200 police officers on duty to protect the parade there. But this happens. And one person is this guy. Abdul Balut, 21 years old, known to have Islamist ties.
Radicalized. Born in Germany, of immigrant parents and had been radicalized. He had a machete, so he crashed the van and then evidently got out of it and was attacking people. A lot of people got cut with the machete.
Now, this guy had a lot of trouble with the law. He's been locked up. He was arrested in Lebanon, spent 3 months in prison there for incitement. In Germany, he was arrested again, spent 6 months in pretrial detention, and they said, he seems sincere, let's let him out.
Well, a lot to happen when you're only 21. They had had a very successful drag march the night before with help or consultation from some of the drag march creators here in New York, And that was a big success and peaceful and wonderful. And then the parade the next day, and then boom.
Well, they did have a big vigil the next day in Berlin. We have a picture of that to show at the gate there. And the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, spoke next to an altar draped in rainbow flags during a memorial service at St. Mary's Church on the day after the attack. We don't know much about the victims. The woman who died apparently was Polish. But the Berlin mayor said, you know, this is an attack on our free and cosmopolitan society.
Of course. That's what it's meant to be. All right, and moving on.
And everybody is saying we will not be bowed. We're going to keep marching. And, of course, we are. But, these things will happen as long as all that hate is out there in the world.
Well, we talk about a lot of communities under attack, and sometimes I think not enough attention is paid to ours and incidents like this. So I'm glad it got.
That's why we have this show.
Exactly.
All right.
And we will also pay attention to Sergeant Angel Rampersad.
Yes.
Who, from Queens, New York, originally from Trinidad, and volunteered for the Army here, and was killed in an attack in Jordan.
Yes, yes.
Along with three other people. She was an out lesbian with a wife. I'm a little disappointed that her wife is also serving. They met in the military. We have not heard the wife's name. We have not seen any pictures of the wife. The wife did attend the memorial service or funeral, but we have not seen her yet.
She is a much decorated service member.
Angel.
But her death brings the total number of U.S. troops killed in the war with Iran to 18. Until Trump and Hegseth said that the last four soldiers killed in their war don't count, since it was after Trump declared a ceasefire that neither we nor Iran have ever abided by.
Well, it's insane, it's insulting, it's disgusting. But that's the way they want to run things.
And it's important because, you know, when you die in a war, when you even participate in a war, you have all kinds of benefits that come with it that don't come to other service members.
Well, she was promoted posthumously, as were others. But I don't know what
means. Trump even went to the, receive when she landed and her body landed in Dover. He was there and he talked about the 18 people who were killed. But then, of course, since he's demented, he forgot that the next day and went to this 14 number.
I don't know that he forgot it. He just was convinced to make a change.
Let's not make excuses for him. Exactly.
All right.
Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner talk about being certifiably insane, an hour-long string of insults. The less said about that, the better. But on Sunday morning, Trump posted an AI-altered image showing CNN journalist Caitlin Collins' face superimposed on trans actress Dylan Mulvaney. And she responded, "My name is Dylan Mulvaney, and the President of the United States, and my name in his speech said my name four times on Friday night." She sounded amazed that 3 years after the Bud Light controversy, the president remembered her.
Yes.
Trump completely distorted, said this cost Bud Light $35 billion. Mulvaney took the opportunity to say, this is the time. I'm sounding the alarm. We need you to stand up for us, trans people. Vote for us. Donate to our causes. Hire us and support the businesses who hire us. But most importantly, love us.
Yeah.
All right. Federal judge in D.C. has rejected the Trump administration's to knock out most of the transgender service members out of a lawsuit over military retirement benefits that the Air Force had approved and then abruptly canceled. So this is Judge Elaine Kaplan there from the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, an appointee of Presidents Obama and Biden. And she denied the Justice Department attempt to dismiss this and gave a great decision. She's a judge who was, when she was a lawyer, who was honored by the ABA for her work on LGBTQ issues.
And another judge is cross-examining the Department of Defense and Hegseth on this their ongoing lawsuit challenging. Now, our side has a lawsuit challenging the ban on trans in the military. So the judge is asking what the hell is going on with this testosterone testing and provision, and why is it that you are throwing people out for being trans because they would require ongoing medical help when you're willing to do that for all these cisgender troops. The judge said the armed forces must adhere to high – no, I'm sorry. Sorry for my wandering around. The trans ban that the Defense Department wants to implement said the armed forces must adhere to high mental and physical health standards without the benefit of routine medical treatment or special provisions, unless we decide that we want to give them all testosterone.
Right. So Senate Democrats have wrote a big letter saying, wait a minute, how does this work? I mean, what is this safe? Is this effective? Well, this fooling around with testosterone, it carries known risks and requires careful diagnosis and long-term medical monitoring, and you're fooling around with it. With your shots.
Lower sperm counts.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
So, they're trying to at least get them to study it before they launch into this thing. But again, he's got a secretary of HHS who was totally wacko.
Crazy.
And, yes.
I'm just looking. Yes.
And by the way, the Trump administration is ending its LGBTQ plus veteran care coordinator program, which has helped LGBTQ veterans find competent, inclusive care for the past 10 years.
But in good news, the House of Representatives defeated a proposal from Lauren Boebert to add an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill to ban trans people from the military. All the Democrats and four Republicans voted against it, and it went down to defeat in
They're
the
worried
House.
About the midterm, some of those Republicans.
Some of them.
And this, again, this is the kind of thing that the House could pass, but they didn't in this case, but that the Senate would block using the filibuster.
Yes, although I worry about the filibuster. But I think the Republicans, the one thing they understand is that if they get rid of the filibuster, they're screwed down the road. Meanwhile, James Dale, who you remember for having sued to get into the Boy Scouts when they wanted to keep him out because he was gay, and he lost that suit because the court ruled that the Boy Scouts could make their own decisions about who they admitted.
Private organization, they can do what they want.
Right. So he says, all right, well, if that's true, then how come you, the Defense Department, are trying to tell Scouting America who they can have after you've won this lawsuit that said, the Boy Scouts can make their own decisions. So he's pursuing that. Because Scouting America wanted to have trans, but is now backing down and saying they will ban trans because they're so dependent on the military. So much of their operation takes place on military bases and Mormon church-controlled spaces. So they are worried.
Didn't the Mormons set up their own scouting thing?
Probably.
Yeah.
The Scouting America is backing down from the Defense Department, and he is challenging that and asking for revealing the background materials on that.
And the Congressional Equality Caucus for LGBT stuff contains no Republicans, but they wrote to the Secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development, Scott Turner, urging the immediate withdrawal of their proposed rule, which would gut existing protections for LGBTQ plus individuals and require HUD-funded shelters to discriminate against transgender people, some of the most homeless people in the world. And where are they supposed to go?
We're keeping a lot of people in business by our very existence. So many lawsuits, so much legislation.
I mean, this new rule would force them to discriminate.
All right. Politics? Wait.
Well, what are we going on to? Okay, have that. We'll find another story for you here among all these.
No, we got a lot of politics to cover. Starting with...
Well, it was nice to see them, the United States, withdraw their subpoenas to the New York Times.
Yes.
Over the leaks over the plane. So
not so nice to see that they, and I can't believe that they admitted to canceling grants to states that did not vote for Trump. To me, this is like the number one story of the week.
Yes.
They had to admit that they canceled grants to organizations to states that voted for Kamala Harris.
They're holding up all the transportation funds, billions of dollars in transportation funds to blue states.
Well, yes, and it's unbelievable that they're doing this.
And these are congressionally appropriated funds.
Yes.
And no one is, the courts are, for the most part, our Supreme Court especially, are not making them fulfill the contracts that they're
just running wild. They're completely rogue. They pay no attention to court decisions. They're doing exactly what they want.
Well, I mean, it's like what Orbán did in Hungary, and getting it all back. Well, they seem to be doing a good job.
And Mark Elias, the great election expert who has done these dozens and dozens of suits that have defeated Trump on the 2020 election claims, is now warning that Trump wants all these voter lists from around the country, from all states, so that he can disenfranchise half the voters in the country, the Democrats, the
women,
anyone who he thinks may vote against him. And it's the exact same thing. And
if that doesn't work, we're sending troops to polling places.
Yeah.
Which has not been ruled out by that Mark, whatever his name is, the guy running Homeland Security.
Mullen.
Yeah.
Mark McWane.
Mullen. Whatever his name is. Yeah. His grammar is not very good, by the way. All right. So now we told you about this guy, David Maltinsky. He worked for the FBI 16 years. During a pride thing, they gave him a pride flag. He put it on his desk when the FBI was still being run by semi-sane people. And so this was noticed and by Kash Patel, and he got a letter saying he had exercised poor judgment with inappropriate display of political signage. See, our existence is political.
Yes.
Being a woman is political.
Yes.
Being trans is political. It's not human.
If you are not a white cis male, any mention of your existence is considered political.
So he's suing. And Kash Patel is trying to avoid discovery of this case. Discovery is a great thing. You know, Trump's suing the BBC for saying that he incited the riot on January 6th back then.
And 2021.
They're saying, fine, give us all your files. Let's see all your emails and your tweets and everything else and private stuff and your family, too. And I bet he's going to withdraw that suit.
Well, yes, and this is why we know why they had to admit that they defunded half the states and organizations. Yeah. Discovery.
Anyway, so the only apparently at the FBI, people display thin blue line flags, Gadsden don't tread on me flags, other things, and he's saying.
By the way, the administration also canceled grants to organizations around sex education and preventive materials because they promote premarital sex. Now, we've been hearing this for 40 years.
Forever. And we urge you, young people who may need to know some things about sex, it's all on the internet.
Well, the new rules for funding from the administration say that your organization must stress abstinence, where have we heard that before, marriage, only heterosexual marriage, certainly, procreation, and protecting fertility. Well, if you want to protect fertility, don't give men testosterone because that lowers their sperm counts.
And by the way, I'm not recommending porn sites for the education. I'm recommending responsible things. There's Advocates for Youth in Washington, many youth organizations all over the country that can provide the information that you need.
And what are you recommending for the new name for Penn Station?
Well, you know, Trump said, why do we call it Penn Station? It's not in Pennsylvania. You know, why don't you name it after me?
Yeah. Well, luckily, at the moment, New York is holding the line on that.
I would like it just called New York Station. I would like to take a lot of names like the off things like the Ed
Koch
Bridge.
Well, it's the Pennsylvania Railroad,
yes,
I'm sure.
Which doesn't
was,
exist anymore, right?
I don't know. I'm not. We all know it as Penn Station.
Yes, exactly.
Why do we have to change it?
Well, then you can't have your $100 billion.
Well, what about giving Saudi Arabia nuclear capability?
What?
It's all a deal to give Jared Kushner more money.
Exactly. And Trump.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the Smithsonian.
Okay.
Well, so, you know, as I said, it does have its own board, and they're not into this. But Trump wants warning signs on to say that essentially that it there what is in this museum does not accurately reflect what America is.
Yes, does not tell the truth about history, like slavery was not so bad.
It's like a warning thing on cigarette cases, packages.
Except the opposite.
Right. So, you know, they're resisting this. I mean, the woman in charge of this, Hartig?
Yes.
Yes, is just awful. She especially objected to an exhibit that said, girlhood, it's complicated, discussing struggles with gender identity among young women. We just want to bury all this stuff and just talk about what it was like in the 1950s or maybe the 1850s.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, the White House is cutting $46 million in grants to 96 U.S. HIV organizations. That's lovely. That will cut a lot of help to people who need it. And the USAID, to the extent it still exists, is cutting all over the world and taking jobs away in countries all over the world. And there's a report from Nepal that AIDS workers who are now out of a job are taking to sex work.
Especially transgender workers. So you want to get into some states and politics and stuff
yes.
like that?
Yes. Do we want to talk about, are we going to get to the Tate brothers or save them
we'll
for international
news? We'll get to them.
News.
We'll get to them. Okay. They're so disgusting.
Okay.
All right. So state of Maine, Graham Plattner had to drop out when his
thank heavens
bad habits came to light. So the new candidate is State Senate President Troy Jackson. A former lumber...
Logger.
He was a logger.
Fifth generation logger.
And he's...
From way north in Maine.
Now,
way north.
This is a good story because he wasn't always down with gay rights and abortion. He voted against the state bill in 2009 to legalize same-sex marriage in Maine, one of only two Democrats to do so. And he voted in favor of a ban on conversion therapy. But now, Equality Maine gives them 100% rating.
He is amazingly eloquent talking about this. And he's a simple guy. But I've heard him interviewed on the radio. I've heard seen interviews with him on TV. He is asked about it. And he is so forthright, so honest, and so sincere about how he was wrong. He talked to a lot of people and realized the need for abortion as reproductive health care. And he does not shy away from saying the word abortion. He just is right out about it. And same with gay rights and how wrong he was to be against marriage. And he's just a lovely, sincere guy.
Which is what we are working for, that some people can be brought around on
Absolutely.
These issues who opposed us.
And he did the research. He didn't just look at the polling. He talked to people. And that is just heartwarming.
We'd like the Pope to come around.
He's not perfect.
No. By the way, this Andy Burnham, who's the new Prime Minister of England, Britain, and... one of his famous quotes is, Pope needs to get with the program and come out for same-sex marriage. You know, he's Catholic.
Well, he's
Catholic,
right.
Prime Minister in Britain.
Yes.
There have been crypto Catholics before, like Tony Blair, but this guy's Catholic.
All right. So there's a director of LGBTQI policy at the Center for American Progress,
yes,
who's a trans man, trans woman.
Caleb Smith.
Okay.
He, trans. Caleb sounds.
Caleb.
Caleb.
Sounds like a trans man. I don't know. Says Democrats should support trans in the military, the Equality Act for non-discrimination of everybody, including trans, should support care for trans youth, but should leave sports and school trans issues to locals and sports organizations.
Which is what's happened.
And which is what we've been saying, you know, in some of these cases, you need individual, I'm not so sure about school stuff, but for sports, individual assessments, I think, is not inappropriate. Because what we're heading for, what the administration wants, is every single girl in this country to be genitally tested and examined before they can participate in sports and probably most other things. It's unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
It just shows their contempt for women.
Right. And there are going to be anti-trans ballots initiatives. We've been talking about this in five states, Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Nebraska, and Washington. And, you know, we're very concerned about these things. The one in Washington these are things to be alarmed about. We'll link to an article about
In Louisiana, in Bossier Parish, they are instituting criminal penalties for trans people using the wrong, I put that in quotes, single-sex bathroom in and other facilities in public buildings. Criminal penalties.
Yeah. What Washington would do is target transgender people in sports, medical care, and in Arizona's case, bathrooms, locker rooms, and schools, with funding tracked by the groundbreaking new Ballotpedia investigation that have brought all these to light.
By the way, second trans woman has reported that she had sex with Lindsey Graham, who was quite enthusiastic, identified himself as a bottom, and reported the details of it. And I just felt watching his funeral service that I was so, well, I'll watch anything almost. But I was sorry I never met him so I could say, look, Lindsey, you are really a disgusting hypocrite. And really, it would be nice if you were out as a man in power about who you are. But really, you are a war criminal for everything you've done against the LGBTQ community.
And a war criminal in general. I mean, Trump said, Lindsey never saw a war he didn't like. And then Sean Hannity, I don't know if it was before or afterwards, I only saw the clips. Sean Hannity gets up and says, everybody said he was a warmonger. You definitely know, and this is untrue. It's just, I can't watch this. This is why people watch things like cooking shows and sports, because you see things that actually are meaningful in life. I mean, I'm serious. This is the way I felt watching the Fauci hearing today, because it was all just political theater.
Yes.
Totally unserious, the Republicans, about everything. It's just to boost their vote in the midterm elections. And Fauci just kept saying, I take the Fifth Amendment because I'm not playing your game.
And because I know that if I say anything, then I will be prosecuted for lying. And
Josh Hawley, what color is the cup on your desk there? I take the Fifth Amendment.
Rand Paul, do you have a red folder there in front of you?
They think it's so clever.
The record show that the witness would not answer whether he had a red folder on the desk.
All right. Kim Davis is back.
Yes, she is.
She's the Kentucky clerk, and she wouldn't give a marriage license to same-sex couples. These two guys, David Ermold and David Moore, they successfully sued her. They were awarded,
$560,000.
So Now
she has not paid.
Now they're going after her because she inherited several parcels of land after her mother's death in 2025, immediately transferred those properties to family members rather than keeping them in her own name so she could avoid having to pay what she owes these guys. So they're going after that money. It's called a look back. They do it if you try to hide your parents' money when they're going into the home. You know, they say, wait a minute. That's not, you know, the government can have that money.
Jeffrey Epstein had his girlfriend marry a woman, one of his victims, so that she could get U.S. citizenship. I resent that, Jeffrey.
What a crowd. What a crowd.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we told you about the Christian man who sued the government after claiming he had a phobia of pride flags. He lost his religious discrimination case. He didn't like being subjected to pride imagery or hearing colleagues using different pronouns at work.
Well, luckily he lost.
Roman Catholic with evangelical Christian.
Katie Faust in Seattle, daughter of a lesbian, has started an anti-same-sex marriage campaign. Billboards, which are going to be put up nationally.
Oh, boy.
Financed by Hobby Lobby.
What happened there?
To her with her mother's?
Yeah.
I don't know. But she... the billboards will say, "No child has two dads, no child has two moms." Well, that is so wrong in so many ways. But look out for those. She started a group called Them Before Us, whatever that means.
A follow-up on the swatting of Pete Buttigieg. There was this, turns out, relatively crazy woman who said, "Oh, he talked to me in Alabama, and I learned all about how he's abusing his children, and you have to look into this." But the thing is, they didn't look into it. They just did what the normal regular procedure is, which is, okay, you now have to talk to you separately from your kids, and they separate you, and it's very traumatizing.
For 24
they
hours.
They didn't look into her.
Well, now they have, and they found out that this was a totally bogus claim. The woman is mentally unstable, and there just was no substance to this at all. But I'm sure that if Pete Buttigieg attempts to run for president, there's going to be a whisper campaign on the right wing saying, he was accused of abusing his children.
Well, I mean, Trump was convicted of abusing, all kinds of women, and that didn't seem to stop them from voting for
him. They're back in court over the E. Jean Carroll $83 million award. In New York City, the mayor put together an educational advisory panel. No LGBTQ representation. I thought that was a big mistake.
I think that's outrageous.
As well as the judicial panel with no Jews.
Right.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Although his corp counsel is Jewish, who is going to make the decisions. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I follow all these things, and I look for representation, especially on education, where we have not achieved any equality in the education system.
Terrible story out of Florida. Tyler Getchell, 30 years old, has been sentenced to 7 years in prison. He had gay neighbors. No, that's not that picture. Take that picture away. He had gay neighbors who he hated for being gay. So he put signs in his window that said, "F you, tranny fag." And he didn't just say F. He smeared dog feces on their house. And then finally, he shot the neighbor, Kyle McFarlane, in the back, who is now partially paralyzed. This is just because he freaked out because he had a gay neighbor. And he has been now convicted and assigned to 7 years in prison.
And again, all this hatred gets fomented by the right-wing media, including Fox News and everything.
And people like Lindsey Graham.
The right-wing party in Germany, where the incident happened that we talked about at the top of the show, this proves that we can't have these immigrants, Islamic immigrants in this country. They're an anti-gay party. Where do you think he gets some of his ideas?
Yeah. And now that picture of Jayla McGee, 19 years old, trans woman in Belgrade, Florida. shot dead in the midst of her transition, loved dearly by family and friends. We don't have more details than that yet, but another victim of this hatred.
International news?
Yes.
So they got a new prime minister while I was over there in England, another Andy Burnham, mayor of Manchester. So he's going to try to save the Labour Party from losing to the fascist Reform Party led by Nigel Farage. Now, there's Burnham on the right. He has appointed the health secretary, Wes Streeter, as his new minister of defense. So this is the guy who has to deal with Pete Hegseth. They've already had a conversation. I wish I could have listened to that. Anyway, so he's an out gay man.
Wes Streeting is an out gay man?
Yes.
Okay.
Wes Streeting is out gay.
But he stopped puberty blockers for trans youth. He is he's a very conservative guy, right?
These folks will say certain good things about, you know, trans rights and things, but they have pulled back, and that's not good.
They should go to the Netherlands, where they have gotten...
The new foreign minister is Ed Miliband, who once said of Trump, he lowered the bar for idiocy. And Trump is furious about this appointment that he has to deal with this guy.
Okay. Also in the UK, Booker Prize nominations are out. The big favorite seems to be Marlon James, The Disappearers, a novel about an anti-gay hate crime in Jamaica. He's won the Booker before. And also nominated is a guy named Douglas Stewart for his book John of John, which is about a gay man returning to his Scotland farm home and his abusive father.
And say what you want about the United Kingdom, but they are trying to extradite the Tate brothers from the United States to face multiple charges of rape and sex trafficking. And the interesting news this week is that even though Barron Trump is friendly with them and Donald Jr.
Yes.
Marco Rubio thinks they're disgusting. And he's in charge of making this decision about, and he's not standing in the way of the extradition so far. Excuse me. They are facing 59 charges, including rape and human trafficking.
In other literature news from the UK, a Cambridge professor, Sarah Dillon, has transcribed Alan Turing's short story, Price's Buoy, after his 1952 arrest.
It's kind of about that.
Yes, a relationship between a gay academic and a sex worker, and now it's legible.
You know, I read this when I was over there and didn't write it down for this show.
That's my job.
Okay. In Poland, the conservative... Now, they have elected a moderate government, then. They're in charge of the parliament. They have a prime minister, Donald Tusk, who passed a relationship recognition bill. But the president, narrowly elected, is still a conservative, Karol Nawrocki, and he vetoed the bill. And he said, I've always emphasized that nothing that is a quasi-marriage can count on my support. And I am a guardian of the Constitution. And marriage is between a man and a woman. So they will need 3/5 to override him. And I don't know that they have that.
Poland's in transition. So we'll see what happens. In Romania, they have tried to stop the annual Oradea Pride March. They've rejected it for 4 years, the government of Romania. But organizers this year submitted, in trying to get it approved, they submitted 100 possible routes for the parade. They still got turned down, but they still did the march.
Listen, we had this problem when we tried to do an alternate St. Patrick's Day parade on Fifth Avenue when we were excluded from the main one. And the police commissioner, Edward Dinkins, who was my friend, said, oh, we can't handle that.
Well, here behind us is a picture of someone getting arrested in 1997 at the St. Patrick's Day parade protest. I think you can get a
close-up. You have a shot of that there.
Don't you? Yes,
yeah.
There we go. Closer. That's me, 1997, getting arrested by many cops.
And again, I was one of Dinkins' human rights commissioners. But at that protest, 200 and something people were arrested. Mm-hmm. I wrote him a note, sent it to fax to Gracie Mansion. Congratulations, David. You're now responsible for the largest mass arrest of gay people in New York history. And I said, just let us have our own march.
We had offered to march peacefully up Fifth Avenue hours before the regular St. Patrick's Day march.
And in 1991, David invited the gays to march with him, and he was very great about that. So anyway, St. Patrick's Day. Well, speaking of, let's go to Uganda. The Anglican Bishop Christopher Senyojo, who had campaigned for LGBTQ rights and paid the price, has died at the age of 94. There he is, marching in a pride march or a gay demonstration. He was with the community all the time. He did pay the price. They kind of isolated him, took away his some of his jobs. But he did this throughout his entire life.
He told the right-wing U.S. Christians who were bringing homophobia to Africa to cut it out and stop doing that evangelizing on the continent.
He firmly believed and always stated that one doesn't need to be converted first to another sexuality to be loved by his God.
And we talked about
it. And he took in two gay youths who were thrown out of their homes at one time. I mean, it was just a tremendous. I'm going to link to a lengthy obituary because he's such an important figure. Oh, and let's put up the other picture. He received the Clinton Global Citizen Award for LGBTQ rights for his outstanding work in the field. And it was presented by Bill Clinton.
There you go. We talked about appointments by the new Prime Minister of England. France has a new Minister of Civil Rights appointed by Macron. This new Minister of Civil Rights marched against same-sex marriage rights, opposes same-sex marriage, reproductive assistance, abortion, and health care for immigrants.
Emmanuel, this isn't going to save your party in the next election from the right wing, Le Pen.
That's the attempt. Being like them is not the way to get elected.
He only got it past 43-39.
The whole point of these elections is that if you are bold and smart and honest enough to stand up for your real values, you stand a much better chance of getting elected than trying to pretend that you're halfway to theirs.
Democratic Party needs to learn this.
Exactly.
All right, news from the international...
Exactly, as my T-shirt back there says.
News from the International AIDS Conference going on in Rio, where vending machines have PrEP.
Yes.
But, of course, Gilead, which developed...
Lenacapavir.
Yes. They tested it in Brazil, and they're not making it available to Brazil.
Well, Gilead has a very checkered record.
But Merck has developed this pill that you can take. No, it's only in development. It's only being tested, but it's very, very promising. They're putting a lot of money into it, foundations and everything. One a month pill, PrEP, that would prevent you, and they want to get this going all over the world, and they think this could control the HIV crisis in Africa.
Yes, because the preventive pills or shots or whatever work, but then getting them widely distributed and used.
Yeah, it's either pills once a day or injections, which are more cumbersome.
Yes.
Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania signed a new law eliminating felony enhancement for people with HIV who failed to disclose their status while engaging in prostitution. And the thing about this is it passed basically unanimously in the legislature and was sponsored by a Republican.
There you go.
Measles cases have hit a 35-year high. You've heard about that.
Six dead of Legionnaires on the Upper East Side here.
We didn't talk about your health. You survived the Legionnaires crisis. You didn't even...
So far.
You didn't leave. I had friends who left. And I had a friend who stayed at my house during that period in Chelsea.
Well, it's very hard to tell. You have no warning.
It's a mist.
Yes. And they say, you can shower, you can drink water, you can do whatever.
You can.
But then, no, you shouldn't.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yes. Because you get the mist of the water in a shower. So I don't think there's been enough attention paid to the fact that Legionnaires is now available for your...
It comes from air cooling things.
Towers. They say cooling towers. I don't know if that's... Are those the
air conditioning units or something?
I don't know. Oh, the HVAC systems? Maybe. I don't know. But so far, they're not supposedly in my zip code. I have to cross-examine my building.
Right. All right. Some a little bit of what I saw in London.
Yes.
Now, you know, it's funny. I really love the movie Pride, 2014.
Yes.
It's about young gay activists in London in 1984. They raise money for striking minors who are being persecuted by Margaret Thatcher. It's such a stirring story. I watched it on the plane on the way home. I actually cry through the whole thing because it's about that great period where we had such support for each other, intersectionality.
Solidarity.
So they made a musical about it at the National Theater. It made me a little nervous, except that it was made by the people who made the movie. And they made a musical about it, younger actors, of course. I mean, that movie made a star out of a lot of people and had an all-star cast. So I just thought it was terrific. And, it, you know, it's not running there now, but it got such great reviews, not just from me.
But the movie is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, you should see the movie, Pride.
Pride, yep. Imelda Staunton, Bill Nye, et cetera. Now, that old warhorse is riding again at the National Theater. Now, this is, where the horse is a puppet. The horses are puppets in this thing.
I saw it here at Lincoln Center.
Horses in World War I.
Yeah.
And it was a very improbable hit 20 years ago, and it really holds up. It's very moving. Most of the credit goes to the Handspring Puppet Company, which makes these horses move.
It's one of those things where, I mean, in the version I saw years ago, the original, I guess, you can't imagine that you would buy into it, and yet you do very immediately.
Well, of course, in the book, the horses talked and dictate the story, and they said, we're not going to do that for this. We're going to...
Nay.
We're going to show you. Well, I kind of feel nay about the misanthrope modern adaptation that they did at the National. Sandra Oh is starring. I love her.
Yes.
She plays the lead, but it's based on Molière. And, as I said, when Molière wrote this, he was challenging the aristocrats and hypocrisy and all this. The stakes are no longer as high, much as our present-day hypocrisies need puncturing, but I just didn't think as a modern story it worked that well. But it's coming to theaters on September 27th if you want to prove me wrong.
Is it farce like a lot of...
No, it's not a farce. It's a comedy. It's meant to be a comedy, but...
Okay.
She has her best friend is gay in it, and she's very abusive to him. Simon Stone adapted the Orestia. You know, this is by Aeschylus, three-part thing. This was a 3.5-hour thing at the Bridge Theater, run by Nick Heitner, the gay guy who runs that. Two of my favorite actors, Mary Louise Parker as a character called Monty and David Morrissey as her husband, Christopher. They're roughly modeled on Clytemnestra and Agamemnon in an upper-middle-class family. But it's all performed in a glass box, behind glass. And it just seemed like a kind of a remove, but it got a lot of 5-star reviews as well. And just tripping through these pictures, my reviews are in GayCityNews.com, and I'll link to them and my thing. But just flip through these pictures. They did a comedy about J. Edgar Hoover being gay. There's Brian Batt next. This was wonderful. It took place in a care home. Linda Bassett Call the Midwife. Grace Pervades, this is Ralph Fiennes playing Henry Irving, and A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Open Air Theater, where they totally messed up by not having a beautiful bucolic setting.
Just having a bare stage. Yes. Oh, yeah.
In the park.
No, you got to have that.
Correct. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it has the theme for the last year and a half almost has been my health and your health. And I guess I just want, as part of my parting thoughts, reinforce the fact that people do need to, respect yourself. Do you want to live? I do, and it came as a shock to me to be diagnosed with breast cancer because it just hadn't occurred to me. It's not that I expected to live forever, but to put some kind of potential endpoint on it was a shocker to me. So I had to grapple with that, but I am in great shape. I am, as I've told you, been technically called cured, but I'm well aware that people have recurrences, and I am having a little surgery in a couple of weeks just to clean up stuff here, plastic surgery, basically. But I am so grateful for all the fantastic care I've had at Mount Sinai in New York, great doctors, great care from all of them, and, of course, friends and neighbors and everybody else who have been so loving and supportive. And I just really encourage you all to get whatever tests you need, to value yourself and your life, and to be open about talking about it. You know, you were away. We talked about Marnie von Wilpert, my friend yes. who's running for Congress in California, was just diagnosed with breast cancer, a very early minor stage. But
Running for Congress. San Diego.
But she's been talking about it. She didn't conceal it as a candidate. And Nancy Pelosi said to her, "I'm so glad you're talking about it. That's so good." But really, people will not punish you for that, or they certainly shouldn't. And you can get such support and really enrich your life by talking about what's going on with you on any basis. So please take care of yourselves. Please don't postpone whatever tests you need. Please continue to be.
Talk to other people who have who have similar conditions.
Absolutely.
To get advice. You certainly yeah. did that when you got your diagnosis.
And now I hear from new people who are being diagnosed. It really is rampant.
And this kind of stuff kind of started pretty much with breast cancer and with ACT UP, patient-centered stuff where patients took control of things, right?
Well, I think that was a major part. I would not say it started with ACT UP, but certainly...
No, I'm saying breast cancer, especially yeah. Women.
Well, it's interesting that breast cancer activists, Susan G. Komen Foundation, other people, took a lesson from ACT UP about being activists and demanding better treatment.
And I remember when it was a a big deal when Happy Rockefeller, the wife of Nelson Rockefeller, the vice president, and Betty Ford came out. But this was just not done
right.
in those days.
Well, it was also long before ACT UP. At any rate, I have been taken care of in so many ways by doing this show and by you and all your help and affection over the years. And I am not dying and I am not going away, but I am moving on at the moment and I... So we'll appreciate all of you.
And it's going to help me with the transition.
Of course I am.
Thank you.
Of course. But there will be many, many people sitting in this seat, and I wish them all the greatest joy and luck and success.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Andy.
It's been a pleasure. 30 years.
And we're done.